Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. When it is the year that we follow Luke's gospel in the readings that are chosen for us, that three-year set of readings, I always go to two books written by the late Presbyterian pastor and theologian Kenneth Bailey. Bailey lived for 60 years of his life in the Middle East. His parents were missionaries there. And he spent the early years of his career asking the Bedouins and lower class villagers about Jesus' parables, what it would mean if someone in their experience did such and such a thing, like the father in the parable of the prodigal son. As I was doing research for my sermon this week, I learned that Bailey also wrote on some of the parables in Matthew's gospel. And so I ordered his newer book, Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes. And here's what I learned. Owners who had managers don't go out looking for workers. The manager, in addition to the job of paying the workers, was supposed to hire them. But this owner takes on the task of hiring extra workers for himself. Only he doesn't seem to do it very effectively or efficiently. He makes five trips to the marketplace, to the corner where the laborers hang out, waiting for someone to hire them. He promises those first workers, the 6 a.m. crew, that they will get the usual daily wage, which in Jesus' time was a denarius. You've heard that word before, the denarius. The denarius was what it took to support a family for a day, to buy food and wood for the cook stove, to get an occasional tool or cook pot or bit of leather to repair sandals. For the next three trips, the owner promises to pay what is right, which is vague. The workers could hope it would be the better part of a denarius. When the owner goes out the last time, he doesn't make any promise of payment. Still, those last workers come. They trusted that the owner would pay them something. The next unusual thing that the owner does is instruct the manager to pay the late coming workers first. That was as odd then as it would be now. And the owner only instructed that the workers would be paid. He didn't issue any particular instructions as to how much each should get. So the manager pays them all the usual daily wage, the full denarius, enough to feed each worker's family and maybe buy a little needed medicines. What a relief for those who had been waiting on that corner almost the whole day, as well as for those hired at 9 and noon at 3. Not so delightful for those who had worked since 6 a.m. It is as though the owner wants the early workers to be angry at his generosity. Angry as Jonah was at the generosity of God toward those Ninevites that Jonah hated so much. In these closing chapters of the short biblical book of Jonah, Jonah is arguing with God about the results of the words that God had instructed Jonah to speak to his hated enemies. When Jonah first heard that God was sending him to Nineveh on his prophetic task, he went in the opposite direction. He got thrown off a boat in a storm and wound up in the belly of a sea monster for 3 days. Only then was Jonah willing to tell the Ninevites that because of their actions, God would destroy them. After Jonah speaks God's word to them, they repent, and God has mercy on them. Then Jonah is angry. He complains to God using the words that I taught you last summer. You are gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I taught that formula to you as a way of praising God. Jonah uses this great scriptural formula as a complaint. I knew you would be gracious, and I hate that about you, God. Why did you go and forgive these hateful people that I hate? Why did you have to relent from punishing them? God disappointed Jonah by being gracious to the people Jonah hated. But God didn't stop there. God needed to go farther with this ultra-reluctant prophet. In verse 6 of chapter 4, we learned that God appointed a bush to give shade to Jonah. In the Middle Eastern desert, in present-day Iraq, Jonah was grateful for the shade. And in the very next verse, God appointed a worm to destroy the bush so Jonah wouldn't have that pleasant shade anymore. And in the next verse, God prepared a sultry east wind to blow on Jonah. And then Jonah said something like, "Just kill me now." I've had days like that, when I wonder, can anything else go wrong? Would you ease up a bit, God? And you too, world? But God is not done with Jonah. So God asks if Jonah is right to be angry about the bush that lived only one day. And petulant Jonah says yes, angry enough to die. Then the Lord, gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and relenting from punishing, has the last word in the book of Jonah. And shouldn't I be concerned about the 120,000 persons in Nineveh and also many animals? God provides what we need, including storms and shade that lasts not long at all. We pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Give us this day our daily bread." And in Martin Luther's Small Catechism, he explains this daily bread petition. In fact, God gives daily bread without our prayer, even to to all evil people. But we ask in this prayer that God cause us to recognize what our daily bread is and to receive it with thanksgiving. What then does daily bread mean? Everything included in the necessities and nourishment for our bodies, such as food, drink, clothing, shoes, house, farm, fields, livestock, money, property, an upright spouse, upright children, upright members of the household, upright and faithful rulers, good government, good weather, peace, health, decency, honor, good friends, faithful neighbors, and the like. God provides everything we need. Jonah did what God asked. God relented from punishing, just as Jonah knew God would. The early workers did what the landowner asked. The landowner who kept coming to the corner to give jobs and dignity to all the workers was generous beyond their expectations, giving each of them what they needed to live for the day. Our God is willing to provide what we need. And God is even willing to provoke us to anger at such fearless generosity to both the deserving and the undeserving. May we join Luther and these late coming workers in delighted gratitude. Amen.